My dearly beloved in Christ, this beautiful vision that was given to the three chosen apostles, Peter, James, and John, is symbolic of the beauty, the joy, the happiness of heaven. Imagine these three apostles, how surprised they were, how much they rejoiced at this beautiful vision given to them. Our Lord's face shone like the sun, and his garments were white as snow. So it was a heavenly vision that they were given. And we can look upon this gospel, this story, as an analogy again of the happiness and the joy of heaven. Who could ever begin on this earth to fully comprehend the joy, the beauty, the happiness of heaven? St. Paul spoke about it a little bit, and he said, "Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, the things that God has prepared for those who love him." And saints who were allowed to see even just a little bit of the beauty of heaven couldn't put it into words. I want to read a little short little section from the book, The Four Last Things. I was reading yesterday about heaven, what the saints have said, what we know about it. And the author here tells a little story about St. Teresa. He says, "Something may perhaps be learned concerning this from what St. Teresa writes. Speaking of herself, she says, 'The Blessed Mother of God gave me a jewel and hung around my neck a superb golden chain to which a cross of priceless value was attached. Both the gold and the precious stones thus given to me are so unlike those which we have here in this world that no comparison can be instituted between them. They are beautiful beyond anything that can be conceived, and the matter whereof they are composed is beyond our knowledge. For what we call gold and precious stones beside them appears dark and lusterless as charcoal.'" So the beauties of heaven, again, cannot be described. So let us at least think about what will heaven be like. Well, we can think about it in the terms of what is absent. There is the absence of all sorrow of any kind, of physical or emotional pain, disease, nothing like that in heaven. There'll be no anxiety. There'll be no worry, no care. It'll just be complete bliss. And so again, an absence of anything in this world that makes our life uncomfortable or lacking in joy. And I think it's important to think about heaven because the thought can be a motivation for us. We talk about, you know, during Lent, I had a day of recollection last weekend, and we talk about the four last things, these basic truths of faith that we should think about: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. But oftentimes we don't think very much about heaven, and we should. So with the thought of hell can be a real good motivator to overcome temptation. You're tempted to commit a mortal sin, and the thought, if I commit this mortal sin and I die in that state with that sin on my soul, I would go to hell forever. How foolish for a short, temporary, and base gratification to consign my soul to hell forever. But likewise, the thought of heaven can be the same type of motivating factor. Well, if I give consent to this temptation and I commit a mortal sin, it's like throwing away the happiness of heaven that God has prepared for me, is sacrificing this beautiful life of everlasting bliss that we are destined for. So think of both, because eternity will be either heaven or hell. And how we should long for the happiness of heaven. St. Paul said, "I desire to be dissolved and to be with Christ, meaning the bond uniting soul and body, that it be dissolved so that my soul can fly to heaven to be with Christ. That was his way of putting it, the reason why he desired heaven. And so this thought, again, is a good motivating thought for us. And let's think a little bit about what heaven will be like. Because again, even though it can't be completely described in human terms, it is a beautiful place. And it is a place, not just an idea. Because in heaven, there will not just be souls, like there are the angels in heaven, but there are also bodies there, right? Our Lord. Our Lord has his mortal body when he ascended into heaven. And then what about our Blessed Mother? The dogma of the Assumption, that she was taken by God into heaven, body and soul. But not only that, we ourselves, our bodies will rise on the last day to be reunited with our soul and will experience the joys, the happiness of heaven. And so it is a place where the saints dwell. And they dwell with God, again, in the complete absence of anything that would make their existence uncomfortable, unhappy. Pure bliss, pure unalloyed happiness. So think about that, again, as a motivation. Now, it's often been conjectured that the reason why only these three apostles were allowed to see that vision, Peter, James, and John, is because they were the same ones that were about to see our Lord in his agony in the garden. When they would see him pressed down by the thought of sin and of the passion he was about to suffer, and they saw his face covered with this bloody sweat, says our Lord's sweat turned as drops of blood falling upon the ground, and they saw him so pressed down, and they'd never seen him like that before. And had they not previously seen him transfigured on Mount Tabor, perhaps they would have completely lost faith in him. And our Lord indeed, in his human nature, was pressed down, was crushed. And he was crushed by an awareness of the pains he was about to suffer in the Garden of Gethsemane, but also at the evil of sin. Because Jesus took our sins on himself, on his own shoulders. And so the malice of sin, the evil of sin, was something that caused that agony in the garden. But one other thought that must have been a terrible pain to our Lord's sacred heart. And that was all of those people for whom his blood would be shed in vain. All of those who would fail to cooperate with the graces of redemption earned for them. All of those who would reject the loving calls of his sacred heart and would die in sin and be lost. What a terrible, depressing, and crushing thought for our Lord. So his agony in the garden, these three apostles were at least somewhat prepared by having in advance seen the beautiful transfiguration. Let us reflect upon it as a motive to help us persevere in living our faith, that we might see that beautiful vision, not just what the apostles saw on the mountain, but the beauty of God in heaven, where there will be complete joy and an absence of anything that causes sorrow or pain. Let us long for it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.